Colts with High Hawk Season, Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins with Run Devil Run, and I started off the show today with Cat Power. That's the title track to her latest record called Wanderer. You're listening to Sounds Good. It's your midday music and community conversation program. I'm your host, Tracy Ross. Currently on display at the Clara Eagle Gallery is the exhibit called The Blurring Boundaries, Women of American Abstract Artists, 1936 to present. And to talk about it, I have internationally renowned artist Emily Berger in the studio this morning, along with T. Michael Martin, the director of University Galleries here at Murray State. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Tracy.
Well, thanks so much for coming by. The first thing that I want to do is kind of a little gotcha. I Googled American abstract artists, and, and Google spit out 10 names and photos. Guess how many of them were women?
Oh, wow.
Google?
10 images?
If it was Google, I would say one.
You're right, just one.
It's
Susie, Google is not fair.
Susie Frelinghuysen is the only one that it mentioned. So is that fair?
No, that's completely unfair. Even going back to the founding of American Abstract Artists, what's so interesting, one of the really interesting things about the group is that women were central to the group from the very beginning. And several of the founders of the group, I think there were maybe 30 to 40 artists who got together to form this group themselves. It's really an artist collective in a sense. Maybe 9 or 10 of them were women, which is a large number for that time. And, you know, now the numbers are pretty evenly divided between men and women out of about 90 members. And over time, the group really was very egalitarian. The women participated in important roles. There were women presidents, several of them. They participated in other ways as, you know, documenting the group. Esfir Slobodkina was one of the very early members who, she was also a writer. She wrote a book called Caps for Sale. And if you have children or know of any children, you might know of that book because it's a very well-known children's book. So she was an illustrator as well as an artist. But she documented a lot of the what was happening at the American Abstract Artist meetings and was very instrumental in getting things moving along. Charmian von Wiegand, who is in the show as well downstairs, was one of the early members who knew Mondrian and was also very influential and important in the group. Alice Trumbull Mason, we have her piece downstairs. She was one of the early members. She's a great artist, world-renowned artist. The Washburn Gallery in New York still carries her work. Anyway, there were many, many women. And, of course, over the years, women have had to contend with things that men haven't had to contend with, like discrimination, gender bias, raising children, you know, being at home, not having as much freedom as their male friends and husbands and lovers did. But still, American Abstract Artists was a great organization for them because they were really welcome there and seen as equals. So what we wanted to highlight with this show was just this contribution that the women have made over the years since it is now a very topical subject. We thought it was timely and important.
Discussing visual arts on the radio is always interesting. For those who enjoy art but maybe don't have a lot of formal education about art, just generally, when you look at a painting, how do you know if it's abstract or not?
Okay, well, if you look at a painting and you don't see a recognizable image, if you don't see a tree, a house, a person, something that you recognize from the real world, then you can say it's an abstract painting. And abstraction has been around forever. If you think of different cultures who, you know, all over the world who decorate objects, functional objects with pattern. You know, you could go to the Greeks, the Egyptians, you can go to African art, you can go to Asian art. There's all kinds of beautiful abstraction all over the world, and that is still being made today in crafts and...
Yeah, that's correct. Like, so not recognizable, but also maybe even some simplified imagery. This show doesn't necessarily have that type of abstraction, but abstraction could also just be like stick figure as relating to a body and what that form is. And then you are able to interpret or relay more information as the viewer on top of that.
When right. I think of abstract art, Jackson Pollock is the first mm-hmm. thing that comes oh, yes. to my mind. I'm probably not the only person that'll be right. the case for. Is his work fairly indicative in general of just what abstraction in art is?
Well, I would say that's one aspect. I mean, Jackson Pollock was important in terms of what he did at the time that he did it, because it was something original, where he was painting on the floor and he was using paint in a way that where he was controlling the paint, and yet he was letting kind of gravity also work with him and letting that paint drip on the canvas and layering it that way. But in fact, and he became important because many artists were influenced by that in terms of opening up the possibilities of what you could do. But in fact, Jackson Pollock, for most of his career, had imagery in his work, even before and after he did those paintings. It was sort of what T. Michael was talking about, where if you look at Picasso looked at the real world, and then he abstracted from it. So he changed it in a way. He looked at it. He saw planes. He saw geometry. He saw shape. He looked at something from many angles at once and painted it all together on the same canvas. So it looks strange to us, but that's what he was doing. And Jackson Pollock also painted using imagery for a long time. Figures are in his work. But that is one form of abstraction. The work that you see in the show tends to be more non-objective, in the sense that the artists, for the most part, I would say, are not starting from the real world at all and abstracting it. They are starting from the materials, from the shapes, the colors, the forms, the lines, and letting those elements speak for themselves. So the work is autonomous, in a sense, and independent of the real world.
Mike, was it difficult to get the Blurring Boundaries exhibition here?
No, I've been helping coordinate the exhibition. It was curated by Rebecca DiGiovanna, and so she was essential in communicating with the artists sort of remotely and getting that show together. And I'm helping on my end. I know her from just from the past, just working with different artists and curators, and we came up with this plan that we thought this show was so important that we'd like to see it travel. And there's International Arts and Artists is an organization, a nonprofit that will grab a hold of an exhibition and help make that happen. And so I'm helping coordinate that process.
Oh, excellent. And how long is the exhibit here?
We'll be on view till November 2nd in our galleries here at the Clarium Eagle Gallery on the 6th floor of Price Dual Fine Art. So it'll be up through very early November, and then we disassemble it, and it goes. We currently have two other venues that we'll travel to after that, so stay tuned for that information as well.
Emily, I was looking up your work over the past couple of days to prepare for the interview, and you've done this thing with horizontal like brushstroke imagery. Mm-hmm. Has this been going on for several years now?
Yes, actually. I was just giving a little walkthrough to some of the students downstairs, so I feel I'm going to be repeating myself. But I started kind of simplifying my work several years ago, and I felt that I got to a place where I really needed the work to kind of be almost a meditation for me, and I started doing these ink. Kind of simple ink drawings with brushes on paper. And then I went from that to working on these small wood panels. And I really liked working on those small panels because I could kind of hold them on my lap almost. And so it was very intimate. And then I would simply take a brush and kind of draw these lines across the panel. But I had been coming out of working really in a grid format for a long time, which is a kind of a modern element of painting. And what I started to do was I wanted there to be these still verticals visible in the painting, but kind of almost ghost-like, kind of left to where the viewer has to kind of look carefully to see them. So they kind of act as a counterpoint to those horizontals, and it comes from the wood itself. So that when I choose the wood panel, I'm choosing a pattern that is vertical, and then I'm also priming the panel in a clear primer with vertical strokes. So then when I draw those horizontal brush marks across, it picks up what's underneath, and there's an element of chance involved, and I really like that. And there you can go back to Jackson Pollock for that, where you're kind of going back and forth with the work. The work is talking back to you as you're working.
You've got a piece, it looks to me like there's almost little pieces of ribbon hanging down, like little half circles.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that was going to happen before you started it, or did the painting tell you that's what you needed to do to it?
I think when I was doing the half circles, that was deliberate. What happened was that I had started by doing these horizontals, and although they were never absolutely regular, they were fairly straight, and I really wanted to get more movement and more of a kind of organic feeling into the work. And that's when they sort of started hanging and sagging. And I feel like that relates a little bit more to the body and to our world, so that there's this kind of back and forth between the structure of this geometry and this repetition, and then what's happening inside the marks and in the irregularity of the lines and marks.
Do you have a preferred website that listeners could view some of your works?
Sure.
I don't feel like words are really doing some of those justice.
No, you have to see them. It's www.emilyberger.net.
And Emily, are you doing a speech this afternoon, something in relation to the
exhibit?
I'll
be on a panel that Mike put together.
Oh, there's a... It has a little history to it. It's a panel. It's every year it varies. So one year it might be graduate students coming to visit our undergraduate students to talk about graduate programs and how that works for them as graduate students. And then it rotates to visiting professionals. So it's a visiting professionals panel, and Emily Berger is part of that panel. And there are three other people that have been invited for that panel. So it's going to be really engaging for our students to sort of ask them questions about their professional experiences and how, you know, maybe a little more career access than what we provide sometimes in our, you know, visual art studies.
And is it student only, or can the public?
Oh, it's open to the public. It starts at 5 p.m. You actually would enter through the gallery so you could see the show. And it's at 5 in room 623.
Emily Berger, T. Michael Martin, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Oh, thank you
so much
for
having us.
Such a pleasure. Blurring Boundaries, Women of American Abstract Artists, 1936 to present, is on display at the Clara M. Eagle Gallery. We're Murray State's 91.3 WKMS, where every listener support matters.
It's Thursday, October 18th. The Murray State University